Welcome back. Again, we're glad that you have a chance to take this time to worship our Lord, that we can worship together through this medium. I mean, it's just kind of one of those mind-boggling things, and yet God meets us here. His Spirit meets us here. Before we go any further, though, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity, this time to be with you, to read of your word, to be challenged by it, to be reminded by it of who you are and whose we are. Help us, Lord, I pray. Help us to prepare our hearts as we get ready for Advent, to prepare our lives so that we can have a deeper, closer walk with you. Lord, all of us have things in life, and sometimes these things kind of pile up, or challenges, or struggles. But you're always there for us, and you're always there with us. For some of us, we're in a season where things can maybe have been kind of nice and easy. Help us to not be afraid of, Lord, when you take us to new challenging moments. Because it's in those challenging moments that you have for us an opportunity to grow in you. We give you praise. We give you thanks. Help our hearts to be open and receptive. Holy Spirit, have your way with us. We pray this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. I have a big idea for the next several weeks during Advent and everything. I want to talk to you about where you come from and really where to help us remember where we come from and who we come from, because we all come from someone, somewhere, something, a people, a place, a story. We all have roots. Again, those things that just dig down deep of who we are. We have DNA, right? The things that kind of help us explain and kind of who we are, where we come from, and those things when it comes to biologically. But yet, it's crazy. Like, I was just having this conversation with one of my children today. We were talking. I was just like, man, it's so crazy how you and your sister are just completely different. I mean, they're really different. You know, doesn't mean that they don't have similarities, but they're very different. And I love that. I love how God is so creative. I love that through all this thing called life, even though they have the same DNA coming from the same parents, they're so different. And my impact on them, I pray, is going to be good. But the reality is, it's not just my impact. It's my parents, my siblings, my grandparents, their great-grandparents, and so on and so forth. All those people that have played a part in who I've become. All the people that have played a part in who Leslie has become. And we're not done, thank goodness. Thank goodness. It's kind of one of those wild things, right? How life takes us and where the Lord takes us in this thing called life. Know this, that your roots don't have to be something where you have to feel ashamed about or bad about. Or the roots aren't everything great too, okay? I mean, let's get real here, right? I mean, we all experience trials and tribulations. We all experience, at times, suffering, tragedy. There's a lady at my daughter's former school who I still keep in contact with. I still talk to the administration and the teachers there and the staff. And I heard that they just had a teacher that just passed away, 39 years old. I mean, she didn't have a clue that week that was going to be her last week alive. I mean, there's things in life that happen, and they're not always good. Man, it's going to be a tough Thanksgiving for that family. And we're going to pray for them, but no, man, it's tough. When life happens to us, we need to make sure our roots are deep in the Lord, that our roots in Him are strong so that we're able to stand the storms of life. Roots, there's so many things in so many ways, but we're going to be looking at what, again, are your roots today. The strange mix of people we call mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents, great-grandparents, even that non-family, even those non-family members who aren't blood related to us but feel as though they could be. Family, yes, family. Each family member has roots that we call family line or heritage or your family story kind of thing, right? We all have it. I remember my grandmother, Grandma Bay, she loved genealogy. She loved digging into our past and who was this and where they come from. And I remember she got to like this time where these brothers had this horrible brokenness in Germany. And one was fighting for the king, one was fighting for some rebels, and it was just kind of like, whew, man, that seems kind of dark, kind of, you know, family times, right? And then I found a gentleman that the family met in North Carolina. We apparently were related, same last name and everything, and he found that genealogy goes back to 5th century Scotland. We all have roots, and sometimes these roots are wonderful, and we love them, and sometimes these roots are not so wonderful. But for us who follow Jesus, the body of Christ is also our family. That bond we experience in this season provides us with more than just a spiritual lineage, though. It provides us with a new family, bonded by love and faith in this covenant-keeping God of the universe. That should encourage you, right? That encourages me. I hope that encourages you. Let's kind of break this down. We come from someone, and again, in our family line, right? Extensions of this root system from which we descend, from, again, the grandparents and parents, right? We come from someone. We come from somewhere in that people are always physically located. We're located, right? I am here in Port St. Lucie. I have family down in Royal Palm. I have family in North Carolina. We have family up in New Jersey. We're spread out in different places. I have family in Panama. I mean, just we have family in different places. The reality is, right, we live in time and places that are unique to us. And even as we move from place to place, we carry these bits of our previous location with us in our hearts and memories. I am not just Dustin Starrett, pastor of All Villages, in 2022 here, right? I've come from a place, right? I come from somewhere. The other churches I've served with, the mentors, the teachers, the coaches that have invested in me, man, I owe them so much. I mean, people that saw more in me than I ever saw in myself. There are people in your life that are like that. I know they are. That's how God works through us. He's put you around people to share the hope. Share that hope. Pray for them. Who are you praying for every week? That says a lot. And I think it's one of those things, sometimes God waits for us. Not always. He's going to do whatever he's going to do no matter what, right? Nothing's going to thwart his sovereign will. But he invites us to actually partner with him. And so sometimes he waits for us to really lean in and seek him. And I want to encourage you to pray. Pray for those who don't know him. Pray for those who do know him. Pray for those. Pray for our leaders in our country. Pray for the world. Pray for the Ukrainian people. Oh, man. Where have we come from these last several years? I mean, these have been some tough years. They're tough. We all have come through something as well, but that's another sermon. We come from something in that, again, we have this unique story, remarkably our own, right? It's unique, but yet tied to our family line through history and ultimately tied to God's great love. His story with humanity is his passion to work in and transform and reclaim and redeem and renew and restore us. Man, that's some promises that are throughout the Bible. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit today from a prophet Isaiah, who's going to just, he says some words. Sometimes we can just kind of go, okay, sounds interesting, but they're so powerful. And they're so important for us as we begin to, again, look at the roots of who we are in God. You know, you are from God, and you are from family, right? It wouldn't be a stretch to say that you're not only made up of the breath of God in you and your own genetic configuration, your own DNA, right? You're also truly from the root of your family line that has gone before you, right? You are special. You're a branch of that root, if you will, and have been delivered to all of us as a gift of God's work, of how he works throughout his orchestration. God who brings our paths to cross. You go nowhere by accident. That God is working in you and through you. He's working in me and through me. And that's a humbling, humbling, sobering thought. But what a beautiful promise that is too. Now, this idea that comes from the text is going to be that Jesus rises from the root of Jesse. Now, Jesus is the Lord and Master of our lives. But he had roots that included a family line as well, a heritage, a story. In his case, his family line can be traced all the way back to a leader named King David, and more specifically, King David's father, Jesse. So let's jump into the text. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. See, the prophetic words of Isaiah point to Jesus' connection to Jesse, the father of David, and remind us how important it was to the Hebrew people to understand the influences from the past that shaped one's life in the present. That was a deep connection they had. The text continues, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, he will delight in obeying the Lord. This one who's going to come from the root of Jesse is one who is unlike any other. I mean, he was so different than what the Jewish people thought the Messiah was to be. They expected a liberation like Moses, a new exodus physically like Moses. And they didn't have any of that. They just got Jesus. And don't get me wrong, God sent Jesus to be exactly who Jesus was. But sometimes we can imagine what God should do in our lives, and it's different. And sometimes we get a little upset. Like those people of Jesus' day, they didn't see Jesus the way he was or who he was supposed to be. They try to fit him into their paradigm, into their mold, and Jesus just won't have that. And I just want to encourage you to maybe reflect on your own vision of who the Lord is and what he's supposed to do. And I say that supposed to in quotes. Like, who is God wanting to do? What is he wanting to do in your life? And how is it different from what maybe you think he should do it, right? And that's why we need these regular times, you and I, moment by moment, day by day, to be with the Lord. Sometimes it's short little, Steve Sill sometimes says, little breath prayers, right? Just short prayers where you're just, Lord, need some help, or I don't know what to do about this, or Lord, can you give me some direction on this, or Lord, provide here. Last night, I'm coming home with my wife. We went dancing, okay? We had a great time, enjoying our dance lessons and stuff. Had a nice time out. But on the way back, we were driving. We're almost home. We've been to one of these before, and it was great. They had, like, little breaks in between. It was, like, 2 hours of solid dancing. It was great, but I was like, man, I was whooped, right? Anyhow, we're driving home, and there's this car in the middle of the road, blinkers on. I mean, it's a Friday night. I'm going like they can't be there in the middle of the road. And so I'm like, I think we should pull over. And Liz is like, okay, my feet are killing me. And I'm like, no, I think we're good. But we get it all out there, right? Here in this moment, right, she's having one of the worst days right now, right? Thanksgiving's on the horizon. She's not thankful. She's just like, oh no, what happened to my car? Right? Just taking a moment and not focusing on you. Right, serving someone else. I challenged you last week to try to think of a couple things you can do this week to just random acts of kindness. How are you looking for those opportunities? I couldn't fix it. That's not my thing. I don't fix cars. That is just not my gifts. It's not in my toolbox. Okay, but you know, we got her help. You know, we calmed her down. She, you know, people came over. We got the car out of the way and everything like that. Everything was good. But the reality is there's going to be challenges in our life, right? And it's not something sometimes that things we can just easily solve. But God puts you in people's lives for a reason. Maybe for a moment, like I did for that lady, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. But maybe there's someone in your life you've been, man, investing in for years and years. Don't lose heart. Don't quit praying. Don't keep lifting them up. What God can do through a heart that is lifting up others. I really think that's one of the greatest gifts we can give to others is praying for them. Let me continue. I think it's radical the way Jesus lived. But we got to remember, he lived in a real place, in a real time. He was a real person in history. Jesus did not come from a vacuum. We would do well to discover the root of faith from which it springs. And it's a spiritual root system too, right? I just mentioned the one in Isaiah, the Isaiah text, but Matthew chapter 1, 1 through 17 is eager to share again Jesus' lineage. He was a real person, a real place, I'm just going to give you one verse, not going to give you the whole 17 verses. But this was a big deal, and especially Jewish people in that time period. I mean, if you were part of that tradition, man, it was like, okay, Jesus is maybe part of that promise that God made to Abraham back in the day to say that the whole world's going to be blessed because of him. The whole world is going to be renewed and restored because of him. And we have this promise to King David that he will have an heir that will always be king. And then we find that Jesus ascends after he rises from the dead to the throne as king. And so the writer Matthew is trying to help everyone understand this. You remember Matthew, tax collector. This guy was a sellout. This guy was making money off his own people by again, working corruptly with the Romans. And he comes to know Jesus, and it changes everything. Jesus changes your whole life. He changes everything. What you should do, what you shouldn't do, how to live, how to love, how to forgive, how to serve. It's not all about you anymore. Jesus changes it all. It did for this gentleman here, Matthew, that great account of Jesus' life. But let's just this one line. This is a record of the ancestors of Jesus, the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. And it goes on continuing and goes through all these multiple generations, tracing back his roots to show he's part of God's promise. It wasn't an accident. Jesus didn't come in a vacuum, and he came to us as a child. He didn't descend from a strange, you know, with lights or heavenly lights or a choir, mysterious cloud and him just kind of descending, shimmering and stuff like that. No, he was born naturally of a mother from a family line herself and nurtured by a father who knew the names of his own kin many generations back. I mean, we call this the Jesse tree. We're going to take through Advent, we're going to go and look back over the next several weeks and look and see how God works through the Old Testament, part one, as I like to say. We're going to be looking at part one so that we can understand Jesus in part two and his mission in this world. And so I want to invite you to lean in for this. I want you to try to understand that God is, he's going to be doing something special. I don't want you to miss it. This Jesse tree will draw, again, both from genealogical ancestry and the faith heritage as we walk together in a journey through the stories of saints and sinners woven into the family line of the Son of God. So my question for you, as we take a moment to pray and sing and before we come back for the final word of the benediction, is how rooted are you? How rooted are you? How healthy? Do you know God's story? Some have said that going through the Bible, it's like for them, it's been like the first time they've been able to connect the dots. Maybe you have gone through the Bible several times. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. But in going through it, do you know it so well? Do you know well enough that maybe now it's time for you to help someone else discover it? Sometimes we can think church is just about us getting our cups filled. And it's partly that. But more importantly, it's about us declaring how great God is. And then once we've learned and once we've been grown and God has cultivated us, then we're responsible to pour into someone else's life. The Bible calls it discipling. You're called to disciple someone else. So who are you discipling? If you're not rooted well, though, it's not going to go well. You need to begin to have a deep connection. And the last is, for when it comes to big picture for the church, how rooted are we as a church? How healthy are we? Who needs to hear God's story afresh? What do we need to do, whether it be a study, whether it be, again, going through the immersed Bible study and kind of going through and making sure we understand all the various acts of God's unfolding story? I hope that encourages you. I hope it challenges you. We'll see you back in a few moments for the final word and the benediction. Welcome back for the final word and the benediction. The final word comes from John chapter 15. We've been talking about roots, right? So I want to talk to you again a little bit, just a moment, from what Jesus, one of his last words he shared with his disciples, right before he was going to be, captured, arrested, beaten, tortured, and finally killed. He tells them this: yes, I am the vine, You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Sometimes with that last line, we kind of hesitate on that because we're like, well, I don't know about that. I mean, come on. I can do a lot of things in life. He's talking about things that will last into eternity, things that that God is going to use and talk about when we're all together again. Remember when you did this? Oh, that was beautiful. Things like that, right? But the part that I think is crucial, though, is that we remain in him. Now, you don't remain in him by just like, oh, I hope I'm remaining in you, right? No, it's not about fear. It's about learning for us to trust in him, learning for us to be still before him. It's like, again, sharing a cool cup of water in a hot summer day and just being able to be present and enjoy it. Maybe it's sharing a nice warm cup of cocoa in the winter days. But it's important that you and I learn more and more to just be still before the Lord, to learn to read of his word, to pray, to be still, to listen, to serve. All those things help us remain in him. But, you know, in the busyness that we're about to get launched in, and typically what happens in the Christmas season, is that we tend to get so busy that by the time Christmas comes, we're just like, oh, we made it, kind of thing, right? I want to encourage you to try to cut out some time, a little bit every day, and at least once a week, cut out a very significant time, maybe a 24-hour period, that would be ideal, but some time to just have a Sabbath, Lord, a time of stillness, and just being able to say, Lord, this is all for you. Help someone be encouraging. You're going to be getting together for Thanksgiving here with family and friends, maybe. I want to encourage you, man, take a moment and pray for those people that you're going to be sharing time with. Pray for God to be present in a special way, that he'd help you be more aware of his presence, that people would be blessed and encouraged through it all. Remain in him. Now, I gave you a little bit of homework. I'm giving it to you again because I heard a lot of great things from people this past week. 2x4, and what it's 2 hours with God. I want you to spend 2 hours with God this week. Before you again pull back, just hear me out. 4 30-minute sessions or 8 15-minute sessions. You can even count coming to worship as one of your hours if you come expecting God to meet you here, if you come expecting to worship him, if you come, get here a little bit early. Make sure you're still and you're present and you're ready to truly lean into it. You don't have distractions. You go to bed early the night before. You make those preparations so that you're fully present. 2 hours with the Lord, and then 4 acts of kindness or just, you know, just something that just is unique. You don't have to draw attention. You don't have to say, you know, my pastor gave me some homework. It's sometimes easier to help others when you can say, well, I'm kind of doing some homework. Would you mind if I, you know, and most people are like, okay, sure, you know. But know that people, God's going to use you. People are going to be blessed because of it. Now, you do have some homework. We're going to, again, dig more into the roots. And we've already covered this before if you've been with us for a bit. But Genesis chapter 1, that's only one chapter now, okay? So I dare you to read it. And this time, read it and read it and read it and read it. Read it a few times and maybe even download the Bible Project app. It's a great resource to get some visual understandings of what the Bible means or what the writers were trying to do and stuff. It's a wonderful free app, and I would love for you to check that out, the Bible Project app. And check out what it says on Genesis 1. It's really good stuff. I was very impressed with it. Now, receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. He has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this, go in his grace, go in his love, go in his power. Amen. God bless, and we'll see you next week.